Authorities in Savannah are not amused. Someone in town hopped a fence and glued googly eyes onto a statue of Revolutionary War General Nathanael Greene, who is buried beneath the statue.
I'm sorry. Now I feel bad.
In a Facebook post with a hilarious close-up of the statue, authorities said, quote, "Who did this? Someone placed googly eyes on our historic Nathanael Greene statue in Johnson Square. It may look funny, but harming our historic monuments and public property is no laughing matter. In fact, it's a crime," end quote. Most respondents
crimes can still be laughing matters.
Most respondents to the post thought it was a laughing matter and suggested officials remove the eyes and get on with things. Check this one out online. It is hilarious. I'm hoping we get a lot of copycat criminals.
I would say I might like that as much as when I forget his name, but the artist made the Hollywood sign into Hollyweed.
Yes.
that is funny.
So I highly suggest you look the Nathanael Greene statue up. It's great. That's all the time we have on the Tell Mikey D coming up next. Until next time, Shay Spillane.
I love you all. Mwah.
And I'm Derek Gary. Thanksgiving special next week. Until then, stay safe, everybody.
I think we got it now. We gotta get a power increase, and we should get a better lease. Everybody would hear us then at 91.5 FM. We would be so awesome. We would be so awesome. We would really rule. We would really rule. Everybody would hear us. That could be a new Rick Ocasek.
Hey.
We discovered Tracy Chapman before she made big bucks.
She makes big bucks.
We could say things on the air back then.
Oh yeah, we could.
With simple words like "aw shucks."
Aw, big shucks.
We would be really awesome.
We would be really.
And we would really rule.
Yeah, we would really rule.
Everybody would hear us.
Everyone would hear us.
In all the competing schools. Can you do a bridge, Paul?
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna go see.
One day we're gonna control Boston. Get calls from even Brookline too. Maybe someone in South Yarmouth.
South Yarmouth on the Cape.
We're glad to hear they might be giants too. Talent is wasted.
Oh, it is so wasted.
Cause no one can hear us at all.
It's too bad.
But MFO is 18 years now.
Almost 20.
Almost 20 and 6 feet tall.
Oh yeah, right.
We could be really awesome.
We could be so awesome.
And we'd really rule.
WMFO Medford is what you're listening to right now on the Town of Mikey D. Let's go. You're listening to WMFO Medford, and that right there was Amanda White. It was the first song off their latest album, Kittens Give Zero Words.
They
do not care, that is a fact. But what I care very deeply about is that we have Amanda White's band here in the studio right now.
Hi. Okay, wait. Nobody say anything. Guys, nobody say anything. We got to set some ground rules. All right. We are on the radio, the real live radio. That means no swearing. Number one,
okay.
Don't say the album title.
Zero Falafels?
Yeah, we can't talk about the album title.
Number two, don't say the name of our hit song.
Can't talk about our hit song.
Number three, don't reference track number two.
And go back to...
And number four, like, just don't talk like we normally talk. And that's all. Go ahead. Look,
just
continue.
Don't be yourself. That's,
continue. Yeah.
Hello, people in Radio Land.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
So, Amanda, I know your name.
Hey. That's me.
And I have a rough sense of your role within the band.
Do you now?
I mean, I imagine that you are on vocals.
Among other things.
What are your other things?
I play the bass in the band. And when called for, I play keys, but mostly I just play like the looping pedal because I can't do all the things at once.
The whole Geddy Lee thing gets a little out of hand. It's very difficult to do both of the things, or all of the things,
all
especially when you were singing as well.
Yeah, it's like I gotta look up to do the microphone, but also that means I can't look at my fingers at the bass, or I can't look at the pedals, because then I would be moving my mouth away from the microphone. People can't hear me. It's complicated. Very complicated.
You would need to clone yourself several times.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm going to clone myself, why wouldn't I just clone one of these wonderful gentlemen, such as Ross Byron, lead guitar player?
Yes, I love everything about the bass, and if I could be cloned, I would do the bass parts as well.
Fun fact, Ross was cloned for the first album, Toy Shop, and did play bass and guitar on the first album.
We were just talking about that earlier, right, Joe?
Yep.
Yes, we were.
Speaking of, Joe is the drummer.
Yeah, Joe Elliott.
Yay!
Joe!
That would be me. And by the way, with the Geddy Lee, you never be able to do the Geddy Lee thing. You don't have the nose. You gotta have the nose.
You gotta have the
schnoz. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, it is part of the whole package.
Sure.
Yeah. And nobody has made a reference to Peter yet. So just Peter, Peter.
I'm Peter Daphne.
Yeah.
I play guitar.
Also playing guitar.
Yay, Peter!
All right, Peter. Very exciting. This is awesome. Now, when you say that he plays guitar, you play drums, you play guitar, and sometimes also clone yourself into a bass player, and you play all of the things,
yes,
and sing all of the things. You literally have just done that.
Yeah.
Like, not that far away from here, and then hightailed it over here to be on this show.
Yeah, we left before the other band was finished playing. It was a little rude, but, I mean, they understood.
Yeah, it is rude, usually.
But it was nice. It was fine. We set up the gig. Everybody was very nice. Yeah, they're our friends. They're all our friends.
But this is amazing that you planned this all out. You have this. You're on this tour right now. You're doing this mini tour of the East Coast. And some for folks who are in New England, you have your chance to see Amanda White Band soon in a town near you. So please stay tuned because we're about to talk about that. But you literally just played in Ipswich. A couple of hours ago.
Yeah. We just went straight from the end of our set there to here.
I'm usually much sweatier and smellier when I play a show than you are.
I mean, it was
you are
still
so
like
together
you.
And like you are like just checking. But seriously, this is you are so pulled together and seem very relaxed.
Yeah, it was a good set. If it was a bad set, it would be a different story.
Yeah,
maybe that's my
be
problem.
More, yeah.
Also, the cold sort of helps.
Yeah.
With the
oh, that's
sweat,
true.
So.
That's
yeah,
true.
It
you sort of freeze
today,
dried
y'all.
On your way over.
Yeah.
It is. I was going to actually do that. The whole weather report. It is cold.
That's
cold.
The weather report.
That's the weather report.
That was.
But we don't do jazz. Well,
I do.
Yeah, but we don't. I mean, there was like a little, before we started, Joe was doing this little jazz thing, and I'd played a couple like jazz licks, but...
No,
a little Stanley
there's
Jordan.
No jazz in our band. We respect jazz. We're not worthy.
Do you all have very different musical tastes then? Like, is there the jazz contingent? Are there these warring factions within the band?
I don't think so. I think everybody has pretty diverse tastes.
I think it really comes down to our first love is rock and roll. And that's what it is. And then we have interests
outside of rock and roll. In my case, it would be jazz.
You know,
of course, Amanda is opera. Ross is...
There's no such thing as an ex-metalhead.
No, that is true. That is true. There is no such thing.
You know, yeah, I'm definitely a metalhead on myself, yeah. And I've also like a lot of post rock. God, I hate that word.
Peter is one of those people. Yeah, with afterwards. Like, Peter is one of those encyclopedic knowledge people. He switches back and forth from like the heaviest metal you can imagine to the Spice Girls.
Oh, the Spice and Kesha. That.
Kesha.
Oh yeah, no, I like her.
She bridges the gaps, kind of. Yeah, but yeah. I like that. Like the Marines, you're never an ex-metalhead. Yeah. You're always a metalhead.
Yeah, you just, are. I grew up on 70s hard rock and AC/DC and Aerosmith and all that blues infused stuff. And as I said, I'm a bass player. I love everything about the bass. I love everything about the guitar.
I spent quite a bit of my misspent youth in, you know, Lemoore's, the original Lemoore's in Brooklyn, in Bensonhurst.
The rock capital of Brooklyn.
You know, that's where all my friends and I hung out. I mean, we're all, you know, like I said, the first love for all of us is rock and roll.
Before anybody gets too confused about this interview and us, like, maybe we should explain that we are a local band.
Please.
Kind of. Like, so I live in Salem. Peter lives in Haverhill. Joe and Ross live in New York. This is kind of a weird situation, but I lived in New York for a while. I do have, I wouldn't say roots in Boston, but I went to Boston Conservatory, BOCO. Now a member of the Berklee School of Music, like much of the musical world. They have a lot of money, and they buy everything, and it's cool. It's cool. But, So Ross and I kind of started this band when I lived in New York, and then I moved and they didn't, and we wanted to stay together because we make awesome music together. So we are bi-located, as I like to say, between Boston and New York, and we just kind of do our thing in our own places, and then we try to get together, you know, several times a year and just play in both Boston and New York areas.
I love that. I know a few bands that have that kind of approach, that have, it's almost like having one foot in each state.
Yeah, yeah. 2 feet in each state.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have, you know, we'll book a couple of shows, and then we'll have like one long rehearsal on a Sunday.
Oh yeah, 5 hours.
And then
sandwiches.
And they have to be very focused. We have to be really, careful about
time,
not wasting too much time doing this.
Yeah, because we spent 5 hours to get there, and 5 hours to get home. So that 5 hour rehearsal, you gotta mean it.
Yeah, better get it done. Yeah. And then we blow the dust out of the carbs. I just want to say I'm originally from Amherst, Massachusetts.
That's right.
And
where we're playing on Saturday.
We're playing Florence, you know, so we're playing in Northampton, see hopefully some old high school friends and all that. It's great to return to New England and Mass. I've been living in New York City for about 30 years, and when I got there after 2 weeks, I knew that was my home.
Yeah.
But it's nice to be back in the old country. It really is.
But it is like immigrating to a different country. My father's originally from Queens.
My dad's from Queens. He was born in Flushing and grew up in Kew Gardens and then relocated to Whitestone.
Dad was always Astoria. He was Astoria all the way up
that's
until
different.
He left.
Totally different. That's a different country.
Yeah.
Is he Greek?
He's not. He was like the one weird little Scottish German kid. There are these really cute pictures of him in the 1940s with all of his little like Greek and Italian friends, and he's the one like short, chubby, blonde kid.
On that subject, R.I.P. Queens. It was nice knowing you. Amazon? The Amazon thing, you guys?
Oh, no. Yeah. Don't get me started.
Is it Queens? I thought it was
Queens.
Brooklyn.
Long Island City, Queens.
Long Island City.
Oh, yes, I loved Queens. I lived in Queens. I loved Queens. And it was
most diverse of boroughs.
No. Most diverse place in the world. Yeah. Did you know there are more languages spoken in Queens than anywhere else in the world?
I didn't know that.
Anywhere else in the world, including the rest of New York.
Yeah, and believe it or not, mostly in Astoria. I work at LaGuardia Airport.
Yeah.
So I'm in Astoria all the time, and there's so many. It's not just a Greek neighborhood anymore.
No. But
it is very diverse, and you have it's a foodie's dream.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Sepur pie is still good. Apparently, the Thai place is really good. Yeah. Yeah, but in my old neighborhood in Woodside, but yeah, mm-hmm. I am like. like, I would be less sad if Amazon moved into Salem as I am that they're moving into Queens. Like, and I'm like, you know, I go to coffee shops. I work for tech. I gentrify places. But, like, come on. It's Queens. Come on.
Yeah.
It's Queens. That's the most diverse place in the world.
I didn't realize it was they were moving into Long Island City. That's... I was just there not long ago.
We got to change the subject.
All right, sorry.
Yeah.
But yes, so you are touring through. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
You're going to Providence. You're playing Providence tomorrow night, right?
Yeah, we're playing at dusk, and we've never played Providence. And I love Providence. And we've never played there. That's the first time at dusk.
I slept in the bus station one night in Providence.
your great triumphant return. Yeah. To Providence.
Yes.
Holding your guitar aloft. See, lo, I have returned.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I will not be spending the night in the bus station this time.
Nope. Y'all got a hotel. It's all good.
It's very exciting.
Moving up.
And then after that, is it after that you're going to Northampton?
Yeah, we're taking a night off because we couldn't get a gig on Friday. So we're going to Saturday. We're playing in Florence, Massachusetts at the 13th floor. Yeah, and so that's where Ross is from. And Joe has played this bar before, because Joe's in another band. Talk about your other band, Joe.
Oh, the James Rocket.
Oh, okay.
Local New York. Local New York band. I've been playing with them now. Boy, it's over 5 years I'm with them. And, you know, a bunch of middle-aged white dudes going out once a month, usually playing various places and just rocking away. We have a 7-inch out, and early next year hopefully we'll be back in the recording studio where actually Kittens was recorded.
Oh, you were recording with Martin?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we're gonna record in the same studio, BC Studios in Brooklyn, where Kittens was recorded with the same engineer producer.
Kittens Give Zero Falafels.
Yep. Yeah. And hopefully that'll be sometime probably early spring, late spring next year.
Are you guys recording a full album?
Yes, and it's going to go to vinyl.
This is awesome. Nice. So Martin, the producer, is amazing. If you, like, since we're plugging things, like, there's this documentary about his studio called Sound and Chaos, and it's really good because he did, like, Swan, Sonic Youth, Dresden Dolls. Actually, if we end up playing the track Adora, which we can, it doesn't have any swear words on it. The piano that I recorded that song on was the same piano that Dresden Dolls' local Arch, by the way, local reference, used for their first album, their self-titled album, which is also recorded by Martin, same studio. Yeah. So.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Should we play that now?
Yes.
That was such a beautiful segue you just handed me on this platter.
Thank you.
I'm excited. Thank you very much. Amanda White. Thank you so much, guys, for being in the studio. You were going to stay with us for a little bit longer, hang out a little bit, because I know you have places to go, people to rock, faces to melt. But right here, this is Adora off their album, Kittens Give Zero Falafels.
Yes.
And so
that's not the name of the album.
It's a little bit not the name of the album.
You have to follow us on the internet.
Gaze, you slip away, I stay behind. Your reminder, harbor not what fate forgot. If love is kind, less is kinder. This soul is also cold when stripped away. It's stripped away from you. you're never dead. I never chide, never scold you. It was so human just to drift away, to drift away from me. But I have one last hope, one holy name will remain. Hold my arm. My heart is weak. Come the
That right there, Adora, off the album Kittens Give Zero Falafels.
Falafels.
By Amanda White Band. And we were just, I was just remarking, we were talking about your experience at the conservatory, right?
Yeah.
And you are classically trained as an opera singer.
Yes.
Opera is... Was that your first love? Is that
the
first?
I guess so. I mean, I still sing opera. I sing, like, but just at an amateur level. Like, probably I do about maybe two operas a year, just, like, community theater level opera companies where I sing, like, lead soprano roles and, you know, a couple of rehearsals, a couple shows, like, 3 or 4 months of rehearsal just to get to that point. I mean, practicing just to get to that point. But, yeah, I love opera.
And do you perform... opera in this area,
I
or is that
not.
A New York based?
That was, it's more from when I lived in New York and was pursuing like an opera career, which, you know, didn't pan out exactly. But I tried my hardest. It's either I'll be either performing in like New York, Philly, somewhere in Pennsylvania, like the places that I had connections to when I lived in New York. I never really, since by the time I moved back to the Boston area, I was not pursuing opera anymore. I've like not even auditioned for anything out here. So I'm not in the loop with the local classical music scene anymore since I was like in college. But yeah, the companies that know me from when I lived in New York, they like call me up and are like, do these roles. And I'm like, I don't want to spend that many weeks in Philly this year. And we negotiated down until I'm doing like this year. I'm doing two Bellini operas. Actually, I'm doing La Sonnambula and I Puritani. But just like, you know, church basement level, like piano. We were wearing costumes, but like they're costumes that somebody bought on clearance at Walmart, you know, that kind of deal.
That's kind of awesome.
It's awesome, yeah. It's really fun to be a part of something like that.
I mean, I feel like if you really love opera or theater or music, really, one of the best ways to see it is... on that
in a
scale.
Church basement with people who just do it because they love it. I could not do that if I did not love it, because I'm practicing by myself for like 4 months and then I go and I do it for like a week. So that's 4 months of work, for, you know, two performances or something.
It's a huge commitment.
Yeah, but I love even just rehearsing. Like, some operas, I sing them just by myself practicing, and I cry because they're so beautiful. I can't even practice them without crying. So, yeah, I'm into it. I dig it.
Does that present a challenge when performing?
Yeah, it does. It's not good for your voice. I try not to cry until after I'm dead, because as a soprano, I always die. So I try not to cry until I'm dead, and then hopefully nobody notices.
I love that as an approach, because I don't sing except in the shower, and I do sometimes think that if I'm, like, driving and you know, singing off-key in my car and, like, cry, if it's a song I really love, and I think, how would I... Does that work? How does that carry if you're
just,
on stage?
Try not to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, think about something else.
Think about baseball.
Yeah, and until you can get past that point. Because, yeah, there's, like, muscle constriction in your throat that's very bad for singing. It affects your breathing. Like, your soft palate is doing all these things. Your tongue is having tongue tension in the back. Your tongue is a huge muscle. Singers are very aware of these things. It's, like, taking up all this space. You get tension back there, singing does not work so well.
That's amazing. And I feel like these are the things that a vocalist within opera or within heavy metal, I mean, these are sort of related, similar. There's a very, I mean, I don't know the technical terms for it, but it strikes me as a very sort of operatic, if you're singing metal well, you know, or at least, you know, in the way that I grew up anyway, then there is a very sort of, to my ear, operatic tone to it.
It depends. The thing about the main difference between opera and any form of popular music is amplification. There's no vocal amplification in opera. You sing with your voice, no microphone, no nothing. There's no floor mics. There's no ceiling mics. There's no mic in front of your face. So all of the technique and the sound that goes into operatic singing is meant to optimize your volume and your hearability, like how well a human ear can hear your voice over a 100-piece orchestra. When you switch over to metal or any other popular art form or any recorded art form, that's completely out the window because there's a microphone. So none of those techniques are necessary. But, I mean, the techniques that you need to have a large range or to carry on a long line without running out of breath, those are still relevant. So there are some things that might cross over, but, you know, that's why there is, like, what the stereotypical opera sound doesn't happen in metal because you have a microphone. I sound very nerdy.
No, this is fascinating. Like, this is so interesting. I mean, the number of people who we have come in here and say, well, this pedal does this thing, and then I plug it in through this, and then I'm able to make this effect that has, you know,
that
whatever.
I cannot speak to. I'm
so,
very...
So I love equal rights for all of the nerdinesses.
Okay, and
I
fair. You know, that's
like,
fair.
I feel like there's always going to be a sector of folks listening who are like, this is fascinating. I'm really interested.
Good.
I want to know about it. So,
Good. Yeah, because I'm not super awesome at the pedals and the equipment and the wires and stuff like that. I'm still figuring out. Because you know, I have a background in a kind of music that there is no electronics, and you know, I'm not even really an instrumentalist by trade. And so then I get there, and I still go to people. I'm like, wait, what do I plug into? Which knob do I turn? I feel like it's been many, many years. Like, Ross and I have been working together over 10 years, and I still feel like I'm still kind of figuring out that side of it. Somebody else talk. I'm talking.
All right. Well, actually, here's a little tidbit for you. When you're talking about opera and metal, Bruce Dickinson from Iron Maiden talks about, not that he's using any kind of opera tech, not that I would know. I mean, I hit things with sticks. That sums everything up. But that being said, it's the idea of the performance of playing to the audience and playing to the back row so that everybody...
Mm-hmm, yeah. Exactly.
That he speaks, he's spoken about that. And I even think he talks about it in the documentary Flight 666. He talks about it at great length in that movie. And not only, well, there's also in metal. There's a subgenre. Symphonic.
Many subgenre. Oh yeah, symphonic. Yeah.
So there is, you know, and that's a big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And also going back to opera training, although you look at all the female vocalists through the last 30 or 40 years that really broke through, that have the powerful voices. Who is it? It's, you know, Pat Benatar, Ann Wilson, even in pop music, somebody like Mariah Carey, they all have that training. It's just they decided to go a different route than yeah. Amanda. And that, but it still pays huge dividends in the long run for them.
The muscle is strong.
Yeah.
Muscle. Muscle and technique. I still like, if I'm having, like, I don't think about opera technique when I'm singing rock, but if I'm having a problem, if I'm struggling with something vocally, then I go back to what, like, my voice teacher 10 or 20 years ago would have said. And I use that approach, and it usually fixes it. Yeah.
It's really weird. You do read about people you just don't even think about. You don't even think about has had, like, years of voice training, you know, like listen to like some like a pop singer who's like a pop singer is like a 15-year-old pop singer, like you listen to it and it's like, oh yeah, well she's had this voice training. It's like oh, they do that, and it's like, yeah, apparently they do. And it's like, and like, and I'm thinking other bands like Nightwish. I mean it's like the first, like when I first like was like Amanda kind of like recruited me for this project, and it's like I knew, it's like, and yeah, I do opera. It's like, wait a minute, we're gonna do like Nightwish? It's like, no, I don't really want to do that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's two different things for me. Like Tarja is kind of like singing operatically more with a metal band, and I'm not singing operatically except for like a couple like random high notes thrown in there for accent, but I prefer to approach it like singing rock as rock, because I already have an outlet for my operatic music. That's yeah. the opera. I need an outlet for my rock side.
Yeah, Tarja's two singers back. Now we got Flori Jansson's the singer for Nightwish, so.
You know what, a friend of mine was telling me about Nightwish, and I actually got to get a hold of some of the stuff and listen to it.
Yes.
Yeah. I've heard of them, but I never heard any of their records.
You need to do that.
All right. Start with Wishmaster.
Okay, good.
Okay. Excellent.
It's like I'm going to the deli and it's like, yeah, try that.
Two slices of this one, please.
Wishmaster.
I'd like to take that away home. I want to make sure that people know where they can find you live and in person.
Yep.
Not that they're going to come to your house, but to come to your shows, because yep. there are shows happening. Mm-hmm. Locally, New England, also in New York,
yep.
Show coming up that they can find your music online. Is it Bandcamp?
Yeah, we have a Bandcamp. That's the best place.
So Amanda White, and very easy to find on Facebook, very easy to find on Bandcamp. There are two albums now, one of which we have skirted around the title, but this is the new one, and it's Amanda White, Kittens Give Zero. Falafels. This is not falafels, but you can figure that out. That's fine. Yeah. You'll be all right. But please, if you wouldn't mind telling us one more time the shows that you have coming up, so that people can come and find you and purchase your albums live and in person from you, and say hello and thank you. And
I would love that. So guys, please come to the shows, because we're playing some places that I've never played before, so it's always good to have some friendly faces in the audience. Tomorrow, we are playing Providence for the first time. We are playing at dusk, and I think the doors are at 8. Music starts at 9. We're the second band to play, so come show up and you know, hang out and get a CD. Oh, we also have mini button sets for the album. There's a kitten, there's a gift, there's a zero. I can't tell you about the last button, because... Yeah.
Collect them all.
Yeah.
let's just say it's a certain hand gesture.
Yeah. And then so there's that, and then nothing on Friday. Day off for the band. Saturday we are playing the 13th floor in Florence, Massachusetts, which is up by Amherst, Northampton.
Welcome back to my old hometown. Yay.
Ross's old hometown.
Yeah, I'm amped.
That's the end of this week, and then the following week, the 24th, Saturday the 24th, if anybody is going to New York for the Thanksgiving holidays, we are playing the Sidewalk Cafe, which is a super fun place. Sidewalk is, yeah, Lower East Side, Alphabet City, I think.
The last of the Lower East Side.
They are known for, I think they're most famous for their open mic night that they have once a week
They have a Monday night open
Monday
mic.
Monday night is very famous.
And there's a few people who have like locks on certain nights, you know, local New York yeah. music promoters and stuff.
Yeah.
And, but we have...
We've played there before on a yeah. Saturday, and we had a good time.
Yeah, no, I've played there a number of times with other projects. It's a fun room.
Yeah.
It's on Avenue A near 6th Street.
Like we East said, Alphabet Street. City.
Alphabet City.
Yep.
Yeah, there was a big folk scene that started out of there, and what's his name? I got two turntables and a microphone. Cowboy. What was that guy?
Cowboy's Kid Rock, Beck? Beck. Beck was two turntables and a microphone.
Yeah,
so
okay.
Well, two songs.
They sound good.
It was Beck, the guy in the place.
Yeah, I think Beck did the art folk stuff. You know, the anti-folk thing that out of
So those are the places you can find us live. If you want to find us on the internet, you can find us. Well, I mean, my website is and has always been notjustanotherprettyvoice.com. At this point, that just redirects to our Bandcamp, which is amandawhite.bandcamp.com, which is, you know, the best place. If you're going to buy us digitally, that's the best place to do it. Because, I mean, if you listen to this radio station, you probably know that's where the artists get money is from Bandcamp. Like, they pay a higher dividend than most other sites. So that's a good way. I mean, we're also on iTunes. We're also on SoundCloud. If you want to give us, like, 0.001 cent per play, you can do it that way, I guess. Bandcamp and everything is a great place to find us online. You know, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever. You can Google me. Good luck. My last name is very common. If we thought this out from the beginning, we probably wouldn't have named the project after my name because it's hard. It's not very Googleable, but, you know.
But it's as a combination. I mean, for myself, when I saw that you were coming on the show, I did a very lazy search. And ba-da!
You found me? Did you find me?
Yes.
All right.
Nice. Good. That's a good sign.
Yes,
that's a good
sign.
We have good SEO.
That's right.
Because some of us work in software.
Ooh, SEO. What does that stand for?
Search engine optimization.
Oh, two people.
I actually worked for a company that did that back before it was even called that.
Me and Peter know each other from work. We used to work together in software.
Oh.
So, yeah.
That was like, but even before that, like back in like 1999, I worked for a company called iProspect that did that.
Oh, wow.
And just like reading something like search SEO didn't exist 10 years ago. And it's like, I was doing it 20 years ago almost.
Yeah, it might have had a slightly different name. But so Y2K must have figured pretty heavily if you were working in software.
It was new enough so that we didn't like Y2K only was a problem with like if you had like old programs that were written. If you were like a startup in there and maybe dealing but there's still people would deal. You would still try to deal with that sort of thing. Company I work for now had a Y2K problem, but not a serious one. It's not as if they're banking and insurance where they have like this old. But yeah, that's.
I feel like that's the second Prince reference that my brain has crowbarred into this conversation between Alphabet City and 1999.
People don't usually associate us with Prince, so that's nice to hear. That's a nice change, yeah.
Yeah, actually, the way we did the beginning of the set, you kind of asked us all if we were ready, like... Ross, are you ready?
Ooh.
Because you guys were all doodling.
It felt like computer blue.
It was very nice.
You guys were all doodling on your guitars, and we kept trying to start. The last time we played in April, I couldn't corral the kittens. I couldn't corral the kittens.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all were tuning and drumming
looking at my sneakers.
Looking at your sneakers for like 20 minutes while I was trying to start the set. And I'm like, guys, seriously, though, we have to start playing now. So this time I was like, Ross, are you ready? Peter, are you ready? Joe, do the thing.
Mouseketeers, count off.
That's just how we're going to do it from now on.
Well, you know the song Baller and Blitz. Ready, Steve?
Yeah.
Andy?
Yeah.
Nick? All right, now, let's go. But that's the way that song starts, where they actually...
We should do that tomorrow night.
I do love that song.
Oh, yeah, I love all that sweet stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a sucker for glam rock. Tia Carrera did it in Wayne's World.
Oh, that's right. I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah.
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 I'd forgotten, too, for whatever reason.
But, because I remember at that gig, is at one point, you Amanda was so frustrated, she just goes, it's like hurting cats!
I did.
Or kittens.
I think I said that to the audience.
Yeah, you did.
Well, I'm very excited. I'm very excited to see your button sets, your badge sets that you've put together with the kittens, the gifts, the number zero, and a picture of something that's not falafels.
Yes.
So
Bandcamp.
Bandcamp, Amanda White Band. Yeah. We're going to take you out with another song off this brand new album. Please go see them at dusk tomorrow night in Providence because it's a great venue and a great band. And the 13th Floor is the name of the venue?
In Florence, Mass.
Yeah, I've heard very good things about it. I just wanted to make sure I remembered it correctly. Yeah.
It is. It's a great room. And you have. It's actually above JJ's Tavern. So if it's, you know, and, you know, if you wanted to go have dinner at JJ's Tavern and then come on upstairs to the third, you know, it's, even though it's the 13th, they call it the 13th floor, but it's on the second floor.
See, you don't even, it's not even like a fifth story walk up. It's just very easy. We're
That's just making it.
Just don't
think about the math at that point. Just
the load in
go
is
upstairs,
bad.
Go upstairs above go JJ's upstairs. Tavern. And like I said, it's a great room. It's very comfortable, and
there's rock.
There is going to be some serious rock and roll. Yeah.
Just bring a second face, because the first one is going to melt right off your body.
Correct. Thank you.
And thank you guys so much for coming in, especially after already playing another show earlier tonight. And hopefully we'll be able to get you guys back on to play all plugged in and all of the things, because I have an extra face I could bring.
All right, good.
To put on afterward.
And thank you so much for having us.
I'm definitely looking forward to doing that. Not looking forward to dragging equipment up the stairs, though.
No, speaking of a third story walk up, but we're delighted to have you. Especially at the end of a long night, and we wish you every success in your shows coming up.
Thank you.
And Amanda White Band, find them on Bandcamp, listen to them right now. This song is called Wackadoodle World, and it's off their brand new album. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
There's a mighty schism in your six string rhythm. Quietly, you walk away. But this song I'm strumming is a long time coming. You know that I know that you know that we'll be okay. You'd be singing that same song if I had.
Amanda White, Wackadoodle World, off their new album, Kittens Give Zero Falafels. And prior to that, we heard their song Adora and Last to Bite started us off. We're very fortunate to have Amanda White Band join us in the studio for a lovely chat. If you missed it, we'll throw up the podcast online a little bit later on tonight. But Jason, I understand that you have some important information to share with us. Is that correct?
I do. Thank you for throwing that over to me.
You're very welcome.
It's about pedestrian safety.
Okay.
I always pick ones that, you know, involve the most common sense, I guess.
Okay.
I don't want to make it a joke per se, but, you know.
Okay.
Pedestrian safety is a two-way street. Both drivers and walkers need to do their part to keep roads safe. When you're driving, drive at safe speeds, drive alert, and always scan the road and sidewalks ahead for pedestrians. It is the law to stop for pedestrians when they're crossing at both marked crosswalks and intersections. When you're walking, remember that drivers may not see you. Continue to watch for traffic as you cross. Always use crosswalks and obey all traffic signals.
All of them.
See what I mean? See what I mean?
About
this PSA? Common sense, folks.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
It's a life-saving message of common sense from your friends at WMFO in Medford.
That's right. That's right. Well, you're listening to WMFO in Medford. That's actually true. Freeform radio. My name is Pam. This is On the Town with Mikey D. Jay's here with me tonight.
Hey.
Hello. The show is on until midnight. We do not have a live band tonight. Our fearless leader, Joel, is off gallivanting with the Fab Four. He's over in Liddy Poo, so we will be rocking out.
You know, we can play a cruel joke on our fearless leader and say, open mic night from 11 to midnight.
No.
I'm just kidding.
That's a joke on me. That's not a joke on Joel. No. We have some pre-recorded music to play for people tonight.
No open mic night. I was just kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty sneaky, sis. What product was that advertising?
I don't know. It sounds terrible.
Okay. Maybe it was...
Wait, that's a song lyric.
Pretty sneaky, sis. No, that's from a commercial. That's a real thing.
I think it was probably used in some early 90s hip-hop. Maybe Daz FX. I'm not sure.
All right. Well, that doesn't surprise me. That makes sense. That makes sense. Do you know what's happening next week?
No. Thanksgiving.
It's a holiday. Is everybody looking forward to seeing their family next week?
Yeah. You know what else is next week?
What?
Our anniversary.
Oh, that's right.
We're married.
That's right.
Wow, we made it.
That's right. Looks like we made it. Ba-da-da-da.
Is that Tony Orlando?
No.
Oh, it's Barry Manilow. Orlando Manilow, I don't know.
Marilyn Manson.
Did you hear that? Orlando Manilow, I don't know.
Jose Canseco, who did that song?
All right. It was the juiced up version.
The what?
The steroids version.
Oh, right. Yeah. Steroids. Well, nothing says steroids like the holidays. Or nothing says the holidays like steroids. This right here is a song. It's called Happy Holidays. And it's by a band called Rules.
Oh, love
yeah?
these guys.
Yeah, here we go. This is solid for you. Happy Holidays, guys. Good luck next week.